Get Sleepy is a production of Slumber Studios and is made possible thanks to the generous support of our sponsors and premium members. If you'd like to listen ad-free and access weekly bonus episodes, extra-long stories, and our entire back catalogue, you can try out Premium free for 7 days by following the link in the episode notes. Now, a quick word from our sponsors.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Welcome to Get Sleepy, where we listen, we relax, and we get sleepy. My name's Thomas. Thanks for joining us for this very special episode to commemorate World Sleep Day 2024, an annual celebration that acts as a reminder to value and prioritize good sleep health and to raise awareness of sleep issues. So I hope that tonight's episode will act as an effective accompaniment to help you drift off and enjoy a restorative sleep. Shortly, we'll be wandering through the East End of London on a crisp spring morning. We'll discover some hidden gems, exploring a part of the city that not everyone gets to see. It was written by Lottie, and I have the pleasure of reading it to you. But first, let's make sure that we're nice and relaxed and prepared for sleep. Start by making yourself comfortable, changing position if you like. Whatever you need to do to help your body relax, you can do so now. Then, take a slow breath in through your nose. See if you can feel the air flowing into your lungs. Now, release that breath. As it leaves your body, you can imagine that any worries or stresses are leaving with it. Again, slowly breathe the fresh air, drawing it into your body. And in your own time, release it, along with a little more of whatever you need to let go of. Continue to breathe at your own pace. This is your moment of rest. Each cycle of breathing is clearing your mind and body. And you can just keep your attention on my voice as we begin tonight's story. You are outside, standing on a smooth pavement. The firmness against your feet is reassuring and comforting. There is a quality to the air you can only find in London during an early spring morning. It's unbelievably crisp and clear, like the feeling of sipping cold water from an icy glass. There is a scent of fresh grass in the air, mingled with cherry blossom. In your hand is a takeaway coffee. The reusable cup you are holding feels pleasantly warm and smooth against your fingers. You inhale deeply and take in the coffee's rich, slightly bitter aroma. In your other hand, you hold a white paper bag. It crinkles and crunches at your touch. Inside is the plain croissant you selected to have with your coffee. You can feel its plump but light weight in your hand, and you can smell its warm, buttery scent and feel the slight oiliness of the crisp pastry. Ahead of you is the rounded, elongated shape of the small lake that sits in the south corner of Victoria Park. The water is a deep, cloudy green. The path around it is studded with wrought iron benches, painted in a glossy black. Lining the paths at equal distances are tall, broad trees. Today, they are crowned with fresh, bright green leaves, the symbol of new life in early spring. In the center of the lake, directly in your eyeline, is the Victoria Park Chinese Pagoda. It's a small square structure with two sloping and curving roofs that sit on top of each other. Gazing at the pagoda, you bring the coffee to your lips and sip. The hot liquid swells over your tongue, tantalizing your taste buds. It's the perfect temperature and the perfect taste. And somehow, it helps you to take in the beauty of the bright blue sky. Today, it is dotted with fluffy, creamy white clouds, which reflect on the surface of the lake. A couple walks around the red pillars of the Chinese pagoda, holding hands and losing themselves in the quiet, special moment of early morning. You bring the croissant to your lips and bite into it. Flaky, buttery, slightly sweet pastry fills your mouth with every bite. You can think of no better pastime than to stand here with a coffee and pastry as you watch the world go by. But soon enough, both treats are finished, and you feel the unmistakable stir of the need to move on. The sound of bicycle wheels softly whirring prompts you to turn around. Behind you is the cycle lane, lined with more majestic trees. Beyond them is the dark iron fence, and beyond that, the canal. You move towards the canal, crossing over the springy green grass and the paths that crisscross the park. As you reach the iron fence, you notice a gate. You stretch your hand out to open it and feel the coolness of the thickly painted iron against your fingertips. The gate has a satisfying weight to it, and you enjoy pushing it open, hearing the slight squeak of its hinges. Then you step out onto the path. Running alongside the path is the canal. These canals, famous in East London, were once used to carry things from the docks into the city. These days, they are dotted with quaint canal boats that sit long and low in the water. The boats are decorated with hand-painted flowers in yellow, pink, and red. On the opposite side of the canal are brick walls and houses built many years ago. They rise high, rust and sand-coloured, and they are fringed with deep green ivy and bright green weeds that have found a home in their cracks. You begin to walk along the canal, letting your feet guide you. It's the time of morning when Londoners are busy. Many people are hurrying to work. Some cycle on smart city bikes that whoosh past you. Others walk briskly and purposefully, plugged into their headphones. But you are moving at an ambling pace, content to watch the world rush by. You notice the faces of the people around you and feel happy. All the different cultures are reflected in them, and each person has a unique style. You wonder how they will each spend their day. Eventually, you see a low bridge coming into view. It's made of the same old bricks as the nearby buildings, and you can see traffic moving across it. To the side of the bridge is a large, once magnificent building. It towers up, grand and imposing, but you notice its windows, split into a screen of squares, are now broken or boarded. This is one of the old warehouses that was once used to store shipments that came from the docks. Built in the Victorian era, these warehouses remind you of old novels and films. You keep walking until you reach the bridge, where a set of steps takes you upwards, away from the canal, and onto the bustling streets of Hackney. Up here, the feeling is very different. Old townhouses and shop fronts sit next to modern ones. The ultra-modern designs of the bus stops and double-decker buses contrast with the background of stained bricks and old pavement slabs. There are more cyclists here. They zoom by smoothly among the pedestrians. But nothing can interrupt your calm. You simply let your legs carry you over the road and down one of the side streets. You begin to wind your way down this street, passing by cafes, homes, and tiny newspaper shops. The back streets become calmer and more spacious, but you can still sense the buzz of something happening somewhere in the near distance. Then you pop out onto Broadway Market. This elegant Victorian street is wide and light. The houses have been well maintained and cared for. Several old pubs sit on this street, their emerald green tilework shining like jewels. The bricks are light and creamy, and parts have been painted in bright white. Today, the street is lined with food vendors. But these aren't normal street food vendors. They are artisans. As you wander down the street, you see all kinds of treats and produce, from Spanish cured hams to delicate French cakes and tartlets. The sights and smells of these complex, beautiful foods fill you with curiosity and joy. Wandering among them makes you feel like a child again. Behind the vendors are the regular shops, bars, and cafes. People in smart suits and fashionable clothing sit there, sipping a cappuccino or freshly squeezed orange juice. Others sit with laptops, tapping away at the keys, or talking with others in animated discussions about their work or ideas. East London is home to creative people, and as you roam the street, you can see why. All around you, activity is happening. The vendors call to passers-by, inviting them to try their food. People are laughing and joking, and even the birds are squabbling and twittering over crumbs of food. You let the sounds wash over you, content to simply be a part of this hub of activity. Slowly, the market begins to thin as you reach the end of the street. The vendors are becoming more and more spaced out, and the road is clearing as people drift off to go home or to work. you let the buzz and activity fade into the background as you continue on your own way. The streets are becoming more residential now. You keep walking, savoring the stillness that these new roads give. As you walk, you begin to notice everyday scenes from both inside and outside the houses you pass. You watch parents looking after their children, feeding them breakfast or combing their hair. People watch TV, munching on toast or sipping cups of tea. You see others watering their plants, cats slinking over the front garden walls, and neighbours stopping to talk to one another. Somewhere, a radio is playing. You look in the direction of the sound and see builders smiling and laughing with each other as they balance on scaffolding to do their work. The day is heating up now. The pale spring sun is warm on your face, even though the air still has the cool quality left over from winter. You start to notice more nature. Here, cherry blossoms line the street. Their branches carry hundreds of pale pink buds. Some are still tightly shut, clasped together like hands. Others have erupted into a frothy pink blossom that smells delicate and sweet. The sounds of birds reach your ears. You can hear them chirruping and see them darting from the cherry blossoms. Watching the birds, you feel a great sense of calm and happiness. Then you round the corner of the street and walk on to Columbia Road, where there is the flower market today. Just like Broadway Market, this street is teeming with activity. On either side, in front of the old Victorian buildings, are towering shelves full of flowers of every colour. Next to them are other stalls filled with leafy potted plants, ranging from jungle palms to prickly cacti. Other stalls sell cut flowers and elegant lilies. Roses stand in black buckets, while carnations pop like orange and yellow fireworks. You drift down the street, past each stall. The flowers give off a mix of different perfumes. As you breathe them in, trying to distinguish the scent of each flower, you notice the hum of bumblebees. Looking up, you see the fuzzy bees looping lazily over the flower stalks. You smile, watching them fly by. In this part of London, It's common to see bees, as many communities practice beekeeping in an effort to support the environment. The honey they produce is always delicious and slightly grainy. You keep moving down the market street, allowing the sounds to wash over you. Before you know it, you are at the end and heading back onto a main road. As with the main road in Hackney, it's a jumble of buildings, new and old. Buses, cars, people, and bicycles. You find yourself walking towards a bus stop where a bright red double-decker bus stands waiting for you. You board the bus, feeling it rumbling beneath your feet. Inside, it is cool and spacious. Very few seats are occupied, so it seems like a mini oasis of calm compared to the excitement of the markets. You notice the stairs to your left coiling up steeply. You hold the yellow handrail, which is smooth and slippery, under your palm, and make your way up to the top deck. Here, the glass is wide and clean. The windows wrap around the top of the bus, giving you a brilliant panoramic view. All the seats are free, but you take a seat right at the front of the bus so that you can see everything without any obstruction. Outside on the street below, there's plenty of activity. But from this perspective, you feel serene and tranquil, simply an observer of the movement. You watch an elderly lady and her friend chatting to each other as they walk down the street. They wear beige trench coats, and both have their grey hair permed. As they talk, you smile, thinking about what they could be discussing. A small boy wearing a bright red tracksuit zooms by on his scooter. You watch as he propels himself forward with one foot, the other balanced on the thin metal of the scooter. At the opposite bus stop is a couple, both with sandy hair, who are wrapped up in each other's eyes. You notice that they hold hands, their fingers interlocked, and when they laugh together. They look so joyful and happy to you. You move your gaze up the street, and as if the bus can sense you, it rumbles again, and you feel it pull away to move in the direction of your gaze. You are being carried along the streets of East London, an observer of all the life and movement below. Occasionally, you see the reflection of the bus when you pass a highly mirrored office building. And sometimes you catch sight of very old pubs that have stood here for hundreds of years, through the eras of London's history. You begin to feel the satisfying tiredness in your feet from all your walking, as you notice a sense of sleepiness coming over you. You are grateful that this bus will carry you to your destination. Soon, the bus shudders to a halt outside a fancy-looking building. The part at street level is modern and sleek, with windows for walls. But above, its top floors are still old Georgian style. The brickwork has been painted a thick white. You stand up and go downstairs to the lower deck of the bus. With every step down, it's as if you're getting a little sleepier. You step out of the open doors and onto the pavement. Now, you are directly outside of the fancy building. A doorman dressed in a smart suit opens the glass door for you. You gratefully walk inside and find yourself in a stylish lobby. This is an exclusive East London members club. The lighting here is dim and elegant. It bathes the potted plants and low tables in a golden glow. The chairs and sofas have been tastefully chosen. Many of them are gilded with gold, with fabric in magnificent shades of pink and purple. The lady at the front desk tells you that the back room has been kept free for you. You smile and thank her. You make your way through the lobby towards a quiet, peaceful room painted in shades of soft grey and chocolate. There is a huge, squashy sofa here. You know that this is the sofa for you, and so you sink into it with a grateful sigh, curling into a comfortable position. A waiter in a neat, elegant uniform comes to greet you. He brings a glass of cool, still water, and you order a soothing hot tea. Then you let yourself sink deeper into the sofa. This is your space for the rest of the day. And now, it's time to relax. The waiter brings you a pot of warm tea. You breathe in its sweet aroma, and it fills your body with a deep sense of calm. Automatically, your breathing relaxes and slows. You can feel yourself becoming more and more at peace. You let your mind daydream about coffee and croissants, flowers and bumblebees, and of course, the magic of East London that you have enjoyed on your morning wander.